Bros.
Football.
Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can the white guys use the term fam?
Here we come, Monday Night Football in the books. Not a lot of running going on. We may have to discuss maybe some bedtime. It is Keith Irizarry, Alex Hardy, John Salas. Fellas, what's up?
Keith Irizarry, I get it. Fun little milestone. 40 pass attempts for each team, but neither recorded 40 rushing yards. But, I mean, come on. It's Thanksgiving. What's going on, John Salas?
You know, Alex, I'm glad you mentioned Thanksgiving because normally I come in like in the bash Keith, bash you, Alex, sometimes. But I'm feeling thankful that it is another week here on Fantasy with you two. It's Thanksgiving, so I got to feel thankful. We're switching it up, and I'm just glad to be here. Unlike Tom Brady having to stay up past 8 o'clock and can't win a football game.
Yeah, so we do need to discuss that because the rumors are anywhere between 8:30 and 9 p.m. Tom Brady goes to bed, and he has now struggled this year in primetime games. 216 passing yards last night, 2 touchdowns through 2 bad picks as well. But I do remind everybody that the Super Bowl is played at like 6:40 p.m. Eastern time. So if Tampa gets there, Tom would be okay.
Oh, okay. So that's what we're doing. We're going to project the Super Bowl when fantasy football seasons have been over for 2 months. Come on, guys. Let's stay on target here. How many targets would you like to see for Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods? These guys making plays on their own, each recording double-digit receptions. How lit is this Rams offense when Jared Goff gets to throw the football 50 times, guys?
It is so fun. 28 targets for Kupp and Woods. You had a combined 11 and 12. That's 23. My math is amazing. 23 catches for those two wide receivers. And John Salas, as the resident Rams fan, has to be happy.
Well, you know, going into this week's matchup against the Bucks, last year, remember when Jared Goff had to put up those amazing 500 passing yards against the Bucks? Still got the L. Redemption game for Jared. And when this beautiful soul has to pass the ball, look what happens. I mean, fantasy owners, take notes.
Bobby Woods, Robert Woods got me a win in one of my leagues last night. Let's get into the week 11 headlines and unfortunately start on a somber note. We're going to say goodbye to Joe Burrow. Finishes his rookie campaign with 2,485 passing yards at the time, 10th most in the league through week 11, along with 12 touchdowns.
It's a shame, not just for Joe Burrow, but that Bengals schedule included week 12 against the Giants. Then they go at Miami. And then to start the fantasy football playoffs, the Bengals had at home against Dallas, home against Pittsburgh, on the road week 16 in Houston. So I liked Joe Burrow down the stretch just because of the Bengals matchup. Now, we can't replicate that same success with Joe Burrow that we can Ryan Finley. So I'm not rostering T. Higgins moving forward. I think it's safe to hold on to Gio Bernard as long as Joe Mixon is on IR. And Tyler Boyd will be that safety valve out of the slot for you. And I'm still putting him in my starting lineup at least week 12 against the Giants.
John, also have to say goodbye to Taysom Hill, the tight end, and say hello to Taysom Hill, the quarterback in your ESPN leagues and some other sites as well. They are no longer going to allow him to have tight end eligibility. I know you took advantage of this week. He threw for 233, ran for 51, and 2 touchdowns.
Let me tell you, for someone who needs to stay alive in their fantasy league, this was the biggest play ever. So I love you, ESPN. But it kind of gets intriguing, though, now that he's only a QB, depending who you got. I mean, he's got a matchup with Denver up this upcoming week, and then they play the rematch with Atlanta. And then after that, you got Philly, KC, and Minnesota. Does Taysom Hill still slide in to at least a QB spot? Maybe depending who you sit there?
Yeah, I think that Taysom Hill can still be in your quarterback spot for the next 2 or 3 weeks based off of the upcoming matchups. Other headlines for you. Hey, Alex Hardy, Derek Carr wants you to remember him. 275 yards and 3 touchdowns. Also, a little bedtime action. We were talking about bedtime for Tom Brady. It felt like the Matt Ryan-led Atlanta Falcons, they were sleepwalking through that matchup with the New Orleans Saints.
There you go, Keith. And sure, I have a number of matchups moving forward for the Raiders that look like a positive game script. But that being said, against the Falcons, against the Jets. I think the Raiders are going to be comfortable running the football. I know I'm standing for Josh Jacobs yet again, but the Raiders are going to throw the football when they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs. They don't need to do that against the New York Jets, who they face in week 13.
So we're talking about Matt Ryan and, you know, how the Falcons offense fell asleep. But I think we need to start putting a little bit of respect on that Saints defense. Check this out. In the last four games, 18 sacks and 8 interceptions. Now, coming up, it's the same thing like I just said with Taysom Hill. You're going to face Denver, Atlanta, Philly, and KC's offenses. I mean, do we have to start looking at the Saints defense if they're, you know, sitting there to pick up unless you don't have them? I think they're a must start. They've proven themselves. Thoughts?
And they did that without Marshawn Lattimore. I know Julio Jones only played a fraction of the snaps for the Falcons, but he comes back, and this defense, you're right, is among the NFL's best down the stretch.
Grading out on PFF, Marshawn Lattimore has been one of the worst corners in the NFL this season, so it's going to be really difficult for him to add much. I'm not as high on the Saints defense as you two are. I think that Sunday was a little bit more of an enigma than the normality, but we shall see. A couple of more headlines for you guys. The Red Rifle throws 3 touchdowns. Zeke runs for over 100 yards, and the 12-year-old Justin Herbert now has the 7th most points of all fantasy players this season.
Oh, I see. We're making haircut jokes.
Yes, from the bald man.
More like the bad man. The bad bald man.
That is not nice. Anyway, how much do you guys believe now in this Cowboys offense? A little bit more?
Fantasy purposes, if you're Amari Cooper owners, and obviously we saw what Zeke did. I mean, Amari Cooper, 6 catches, 81 yards. Promising Cowboys offense. You know, if I'm a fan of the Cowboys, I don't know. But I'm going to keep rooting for Amari Cooper and those guys because we were all worried about 2 weeks ago when the dude from Costco, probably working at Jerry's World, came in and had to fill in for a week. So things are looking up for, at least fantasy-wise, for Dallas owners. If you're Zeke, Cooper, and maybe Schultz.
I'm okay, not great, with CeeDee Lamb out there. I think he'd be my wide receiver to play out of the Cowboys trio.
He seems to be the guy that Dalton leans on in the red zone. Let's get to some injuries. This is what we know. Thursday night, there will be no J.K. Dobbins. There will be no Mark Ingram, both due to COVID. Adam Thielen is now on the COVID list. Continue running the gamut for you. Kyler Murray, throwing shoulder issue right now in week 11. He was seen throwing on the side on Tuesday. DeAndre Swift, we are monitoring his concussion issues for Thursday as well. And Chris Carson, expected to be back for week 12. Also Thanksgiving, Antonio Gibson dealing with an ankle. Terry McLaurin dealing with an ankle.
Let's circle back to the two COVID notes that you provided, Keith. I think the difference between Adam Thielen and the Ravens running backs is that as soon as we knew they were COVID positive, we knew J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram were going to be out. Adam Thielen, the fact that we haven't gotten a positive test confirmation leads me to believe that I'm not a doctor, but I'm optimistic for a guy that wants Adam Thielen in his lineups, that he is just sitting out as a result of tracing. I feel like we'd have a definitive statement otherwise. So I'm going to leave Adam Thielen in my lineups for the time being. I wouldn't put him on IR to make room for waivers because I have a feeling that he may come off by the end of the week. That's the difference, at least from what I've seen between Adam Thielen and the Ravens running backs. I know none of us are doctors, but that's just the way I'm sort of projecting this. I don't know if I'm going out on too much of a limb here.
So the one I'm going to be monitoring here is Julio Jones. Last we heard from the Falcons, he's going to be a game time decision this week. And last week, only 2 catches, kind of irrelevant. So the matchup against the Raiders looks intriguing, but I don't know if I really want to bank it knowing that's an early game. So you're not going to have much room to wait.
Feels like a Calvin Ridley game. Gentlemen, we are Thanksgiving week. So let's do a Thanksgiving feast. You know, we do this as we record this through Zoom. Many families across America and across the world, if you celebrate Thanksgiving, will be doing this via some sort of Zoom, FaceTime, whatever it may be. So let's have a feast, and each of us will have a part of the meal. Let's go to the appetizer. I'm going to label this as something, a player that's been useful, but has maybe left you wanting a little bit more. And I'll kick it off. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you guys know in our league, which is a keeper league, I took Edwards-Helaire in the first round. He's been good, double-digit PPR points in 8 of 10 games, but he clearly has left me wanting a little bit more.
Deontay Johnson has been my ride-or-die Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver right now. He's been there for the highs, 4 games of over 20 PPR points, but I feel like he's been on my bench for half of those games. But at the same time, he's also had 3 games where he's recorded 1 catch or less. Yes, he has 2 bagels on the year. He's been in my lineup for all of those. We just got past the sweet spot in the Steelers' schedule where they beat Dallas, they beat the Bengals, and they beat the Jaguars. So I'm a little iffy moving forward with the Ravens, Washington, and Buffalo on the way to the playoffs. But hey, he's been working for me for this point. Let's just hope that Big Ben drops back and the Steelers throw 50 times, 20 of those times to Deontay Johnson, coming off of a career high 11 catches.
So I'm going to go with Ronald Jones. This one was a fun one. Depending when you drafted, you may have reached for him, and then you find out Leonard Fournette comes. But then Jones still proven himself. He's had 4 games where he's rushed over 100 yards. 3 of them came 3 straight weeks. But he also shares with Leonard Fournette. And the reason why I want more, he puts up those big games, but he also puts up duds. 23 yards twice, 34 rushing yards. He's only gone over 50 yards twice when he's not putting up 100. So I still want more. I think they'll still feed him, but I think for him to be more consistent, that's what I'm looking for.
All right, let's go to the side dish, and this could be your mashed potatoes, your sweet potatoes, maybe some mac and cheese, something like that. This is a surprise pickup, or maybe someone you drafted late that has panned out. I'll kick it off as well. James Robinson is someone who clearly was not going to be drafted by any teams this year. He ended up getting the opportunity and has taken over and has soared as the lead back in Jacksonville. 8 of his 10 games has had 90 or more yards in those games. He has been a standout, and he clearly could be a main course, but for now, he's a side dish.
Well, I just talked about Deontay Johnson. Chase Claypool was the Steelers wide receiver you could pick up in the middle of the season. You have the 4 touchdown performance against the Eagles, 10 total touchdowns in Chase Claypool's rookie season. The Steelers offense has been throwing the ball enough times, like I said, to feed not only Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson, but Juju Smith-Schuster as well. That's been a fun surprise and a side dish that I'll go back for seconds. Chase Claypool.
So here's the ultimate side dish, and everyone's already gone back for seconds. Sadly, it had to come with this Christian McCaffrey injury, but Mike Davis, you were able just to go get him in the waiver wire early. First couple weeks, he was averaging at least 15 rushing attempts while at least getting 5 catches. So he was a PPR monster, putting up 22, 29, 23, 15. And now he's kind of evened out a little bit, but with Christian McCaffrey still out, unfortunately, he's another guy you're going to plug in for an RB1. And no one thought going into the beginning of the year, Mike Davis would be an automatic plug-in in your team.
I love both of those. Let's go to the main course. This is whether it's your turkey or your ham, whatever the main course is at your home, your MVP, the person we all look forward to. I was touting him from the beginning, and I'll continue to tout him. Kyler Murray is now the number 2 scoring quarterback / player in fantasy this season. He's trailing Russell Wilson by less than a point. He is running more than Russell Wilson. And if he stays healthy, I know that's a big if with the shoulder issue right now. If he stays healthy, I think when all is said and done, Kyler Murray will be the number 1 scoring fantasy player by year's end.
You know, Keith, it's funny that you said Kyler Murray was number 2. And I guess it's just appropriate that I hop in and let you know who number 1 is. You already said it, but I'm going with Russell Wilson. He's the top QB in fantasy. I'm just going to reiterate
QB1.
That's for it. You, QB1. Though I kind of agree with you in the long run, so maybe you'll have to catch me here at the end of the fantasy season. But there's only been 1 game, and that was against LA's favorite team, where he didn't record a touchdown. But besides that, 5 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns. Russ is cooking. He's looking. In 5 of the games, he's at least thrown for 300 yards. And it also helps that he's got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, who are having phenomenal years as well. So Russ is cooking, and he is my MVP.
You guys have this all wrong. We can go back and forth about, you know, which quarterback edges another. The reality is that there are 2 fantasy teams with MVP caliber play at quarterback. One team can start Russell Wilson. The other team gets to start Kyler Murray. But in fantasy football, it comes down to which person is dominating their position. And Travis Kelce is the last standing dominant tight end. And I understand that comes at the result of a George Kittle injury. But the reality is that Travis Kelce, as the tight end one, is the number three fantasy scorer among all wide receivers and tight ends. And I mentioned George Kittle. He hasn't played in 3.5 games and is the tight end seven still in all of fantasy football. Travis Kelce has doubled George Kittle's output. Travis Kelce, the number one tight end, has 75 more PPR points than the number three tight end, Mark Andrews. That gap between Kelce and Mark Andrews is as large of a gap between Mark Andrews, the number three tight end in fantasy football, and tight end 35. Travis Kelce has been dominant at the tight end position. He showed us with two touchdowns against the Raiders in Sunday Night Football Week 11. And Travis Kelce, if you don't have him on your roster, you've been struggling to find a tight end all year.
So many good points there from both of you. Let's go to dessert. Basically, this is the thing I'm always the most excited about for Thanksgiving. And I wanted to throw out some names of players that we could say that we are most excited about the rest of the way. And maybe even going forward, if we're in keeper leagues, Justin Herbert is someone that many of us maybe took a flyer on late in the draft. And if you did, it has paid dividends. 7 consecutive games with at least 2 passing touchdowns, 3 or more passing touchdowns. Now an NFL record for rookies ever. And fantasy points, 8 of 9 games has had at least 26 fantasy points. Justin Herbert is the dessert that everyone was waiting for.
I'm kind of excited to see what a great fantasy quarterback does against good defenses. Deshaun Watson, it's put up or shut up time for you. We just saw what he did to the New England Patriots, but moving forward, if you've been relying on Deshaun Watson, he goes up against the Colts, then he goes to Chicago at the Bears, and then again against the Colts in Indianapolis for week 14. So if you're a Deshaun Watson owner, I know I had Joe Burrow on my bench in hopes of playing some of those Bengals matchups I mentioned earlier, but instead, I've got a ride or die with Deshaun Watson against some tough defenses. So I'm excited to see what he brings to the Thanksgiving table.
I like that Thanksgiving table.
So I'm going to officially join Bills Mafia. And Stephon Diggs, his first year with the Bills, we all knew that he had that potential with Josh Allen, and it has shown. 73 catches, 906 yards, 4 TDs. That will only go up. He's ranked 5th in scoring at the wide receiver position. He's had 4 games with over 100 yards, and he's only had 1 game where he hasn't recorded at least 5 catches, and that game, and that was 4. And he's proven himself, and even if you're in a keeper league, that you may have to consider keeping Stephon Diggs, because a guy who's averaging at least 15 or more points a game with that beautiful quarterback and Josh Allen, I love Stephon. Can't get enough.
Winding down our Thanksgiving dinner, I'm going to call this the tryptophan effect. Such a large meal. I'm tired. Maybe I feel a little bad about myself. It's a player that has made you feel bad about yourself. Lamar Jackson. Many people were telling me, draft him in the first round, draft him in the second round, draft him early. If you listen to us and you listen to me, I continuously tell everybody, never draft a quarterback in the first round. And this is why. Lamar Jackson, the 11th ranked scorer for quarterbacks in fantasy scoring, and has not thrown for more than 250 yards since week number 1. Lamar is not, you know, garbage by any stretch of the imagination, but he clearly has made us all feel a little bit bad about having him on our rosters.
Yeah, it happened with Patrick Mahomes getting hurt last year. It's just so difficult to draft somebody based on last year's production, particularly at the quarterback position. I was drafting Kenny Golladay, expecting not only last year's production, but for things to improve under Matthew Stafford. And hey, the problem is that we saw that lightning flash. The 4 games that Kenny Golladay has been healthy, he's averaged 7 targets, 80 yards, and has 2 touchdowns in those 4 games. If you take that 4-game sample and spread it across 16 games, Kenny Golladay would finish the year with 115 targets, 1,300 yards, and 8 touchdowns. That sounds like a wide receiver 1 to me. Unfortunately, I don't know if I get Kenny Golladay on Thanksgiving. That's the hard part. That's what's making me want to eat more turkey and fall asleep.
Well, here's a guy we can all easily fall asleep on, and I'm sure a lot of people who kept him after last season, Kenyon Drake over with the Cardinals. They even got rid of David Johnson to let us know that, hey, Drake is the guy. But check this out, 20th in fantasy scoring at the running back position. Chase Edmonds, who has vultured him in the pass game, is ranked ahead of him. Drake has only recorded more than 15 points twice this season. Yes, he's had two games where he's rushed over 100 yards, but as long as Chase Edmonds is healthy and getting snaps and is playing and in that offense and is taking away passes and targets from Drake like we all thought Drake would get, I'm still concerned, and you can just catch me falling asleep and benching him if he's on my team.
Well, it was great to spend the little Thanksgiving meal with you guys.
Thanks, Keith.
Yeah, you know, before we go, got to help everyone out with a little bit of the waiver wire as well. It's kind of a weak waiver wire, but we mentioned Thanksgiving on our minds, and the Ravens have lots of issues. We mentioned Dobbins and Ingram out. What pieces do you want? Gus Edwards, maybe Justice Hill. I don't know, Dez Bryant.
Gus Edwards, he has to be the back. Justice Hill might be worth a look in deeper leagues. Only touched the ball once this year, but Justice Hill is the only name on the depth chart behind Gus Edwards. So Gus Edwards is my number one pickup at any position this week because of the opportunity he has in that Ravens offense, even though it is a tough Steelers defense. I don't know if you guys are on board with just the running game or if either you're going to take a look at Dez Bryant or even Willie Snead, who's had more targets and more air yards than Hollywood Brown since the week 7 bye.
And Alex, I'm glad you mentioned that because Gus Edwards, you said it perfectly. Justice Hill, I wouldn't even touch. Dez, still got to see a little more. Willie Snead is the guy I am all over for that reason. And against a Steelers defense to where, you know, Lamar's going to have to get a little funky and maybe Hollywood's just not going to be there. I love Willie Snead here going forward.
Yeah, I want nothing to do with these Ravens. They're annoying me right now, and they're playing.
You were just talking about Lamar, I know.
Yeah, so just the wrong time for me. Yeah, just not right for me.
Before the Ravens-Steelers night game, another backfield that has its own question marks playing on Thanksgiving Day. In the early game, the Detroit Lions, Kerryon Johnson and Adrian Peterson. It looks like if DeAndre Swift is still out with that concussion and misses Thursday, Kerryon Johnson, Adrian Peterson, Keith, is this a backfield you're more interested in than what the Baltimore Ravens are bringing to the Thanksgiving table?
I am. I am more interested in Kerryon Johnson, 70% of the snaps last week. The numbers still stunk, 6 carries, 17 yards, but he still was on the field more often. And Houston, while they played better last week, we know they're bad against the running back this season, giving up the third most fantasy points. So I might take a flyer on Kerryon if I'm in need of a running back.
As for the middle game, the only name I have circled is Dalton Schultz, 21% of rosters. If you're thin at the tight end position, if you don't have Travis Kelce, like I do, at least in one of my leagues, 6 targets on the Dalton to Dalton connection, and Washington 8th against fantasy tight ends this year. So not a bad spot start if you're thin at tight end. Dalton Schultz for the Dallas Cowboys.
Couple of other names to look forward to on Sunday and going into the week. Cam Akers, only rostered 32% of the time. Damir Bird, your boy, Alex Hardy, 2% rostered. James White, 37%. And then you got Michael Pittman and Jalen Reagor, a couple of young guys at 44% and 35%. And if you really are struggling at quarterback, Daniel Jones, 28% rostered, coming off a bye, has Cincinnati, Seattle, Arizona in the next 3 weeks. Daniel Jones could be a plug-and-play quarterback.
If you want to take Daniel Jones, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm more comfortable against Cincinnati than I am those other two.
I don't know. It's still the Giants, and it's Daniel Jones, so we'll have to kind of hold off. But if I'm desperate, then yeah. But I don't think I'm going to be that desperate, and I don't think anyone should be that desperate.
Carson Wentz leads the NFL in both interceptions and fumbles. Although that being said, I put Jalen Reagor on our waivers list simply because it's Seahawks week for the Eagles.
So I love Michael Pittman here. If he still has somehow survived another week on your waivers, he's only 44% owned, but get him number one, 18 targets, 14 receptions, 223 yards, and a touchdown in the last 3 weeks. He seems like to be Phillip Rivers' favorite guy. And they have a matchup against a weak Tennessee Titans defense where he went for over 100 yards. And going forward, you got to face Houston twice and Vegas. And if you get to the finals, you got a tough matchup with Pittsburgh. But besides that, I mean, Pittman's kind of a full go for right now.
Everybody, remember to download the Fantasy Football Podcast. Like, subscribe, rate, iTunes Store, Spotify, wherever else.
Give thanks to us, your fam.
Exactly. And remember, we're gonna take the rest of the week off. We're going to eat a bunch. We're going to watch football. We'll be back with you next Tuesday. But while we take the break, feel free, if you have a hankering for it, you're hungry, you can listen back to all the episodes from this season of Fantasy Football. And we leave you with this. Well, first, I'm Keith, you know John and Alex, but we leave you with this. This has become a tried and true tradition for the Fantasy Football Podcast.
We're just so seasonal, and we just play with the times. Can't call us boomers just yet. Hit it, DJ.
It's Thanksgiving. We are gonna have a good time.
Hey,
now everybody sing it with us.
Have a good time.